from KQED.
And welcome back to Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, here today for Michael Krasny. And for the rest of the hour, we're delving into the Thanksgiving holiday. And a lot of people will tell you that Thanksgiving is their favorite holiday. The food, it's not divided by religious traditions. But, of course, it can also be very stressful, especially if you're hosting the event. And so for the rest of the hour, we're going to delve into how to avoid epic failures when it comes to the meal you're cooking and the entertaining all that entails, what to do if you forget a key ingredient, for example, or if there are family or guests who want to talk about politics or something else that's going to be a little dicey. Joining me to talk about that, maybe dish out some advice, Cassidy Olson, kitchen and cooking editor for Reviewed.com. Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Hey there. Thanks so much for having me.
Also, Margie Ryerson is a family and marriage therapist based in Walnut Creek. And Margie, good to have you as well. I'm sure we'll have some questions about dealing with unruly family members as I don't know what it is about. I guess it's always been an issue, I guess, but it seems like it's more acute now in this particular era that we're in. But I want to begin with the food and the meal. And Cassie Olson, in terms of your experience, what are some of the most common food-related problems or kitchen problems that come up at Thanksgiving?
Yeah, so I think Thanksgiving can be such a stressful time because, of course, food is so central and everyone's so excited to, you know, actually dive in. But then there's a million moving parts. Often you're eating at like 2 p.m. You're eating much earlier in the day than you usually would be. So I think the biggest issue that most people have is just the timing aspect. And of course, you know, today Thanksgiving's 2 days out. Now is a great time to be getting ready for Thanksgiving if you're not already ready. So I think really people are, you know, not defrosting turkeys long enough, which I've had the same issue in the past. They're not, you know, planning out dishes in advance. They're not trying dishes in advance. They're not cooking in advance. So, you know, they get up at the crack of dawn and are scrambling all day. You don't get to spend as much time with the family.
Yeah.
So that's inevitable. But I think preparation is really key. And then, you know, of course, I'm sure people have issues trying to deep fry turkeys or smoke turkeys or do weird things with turkeys. So
yeah.
That's always an issue as well.
And probably not a great time to try out recipes you've never tried.
Yeah, probably not a great time to just start launching new things in your family. I think in general, if you have any time at this point, it's kind of crunch time, but cooking in advance is a great idea. But yeah, I think a great time to do the tried and trues. I think that's why it's a holiday of tradition.
Tradition, exactly. Well, let's put out the call now for some comments from our listeners. What are your most memorable holiday fails, and how did you recover from them? Give us a call at 866-733-6786. Again, it's 866-733-6786. You can also get in touch on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum, or email your questions to forum@kqed.org. And Margie Ryerson, what do you hear from, families and that you talk to either before or after these kinds of holidays? I mean, do the problems sort of have a pattern to them? Is it about just dealing with family is generally stressful for some people, or is there something about Thanksgiving that makes it especially so?
Well, I do think that Thanksgiving kind of heightens family tensions because people have really high expectations for, you know, what Thanksgiving represents and family unity. And I think that basically people are not always on their best behavior because, you know, there's often alcohol involved and often difficult relationships involved. And so sometimes things really disintegrate if people aren't kind of like Cassidy was saying, kind of prepared ahead of time. I think that is so important, to kind of visualize who's going to be there, what the relationships are like, how to deal with difficult people, which is always a challenge. That's what I hear so often, that there's trepidation going into this kind of holiday get together.
What do you tell like hosts in particular? You know, like how do you set the tone? What do you say at the beginning, if anything, to sort of make sure that you can minimize the chances of those kinds of problems popping up?
Well, especially in this climate, in our current climate politically, I think it's really essential for a host to explicitly say something ahead of time, maybe when inviting people and talking to them or when they enter to begin with, to say, don't forget, you know, this is going to be, you know, a politically you know,
politics free zone.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, there's some ideas for that because, of course, not everybody listens to instructions. So I suggest things like those little New Year's blowing, you know, blowers, like give everybody one of those to kind of make it a little more fun and to lighten the mood. And then you can have, if anybody hears someone talking about anything, climate change, anything that could be controversial, not just, you know, directly who's in office, you know, then somebody could blow, you know, a little blow on the horn and kind of call someone out that way.
All right. That could create its own problems, I can imagine. Cassidy, in terms of choreographing the meal, you talked about starting early in the day or even the day before in some cases for things like cranberry sauce, things that'll keep. But what about the day of, you know, especially if you have a relatively, you know, tight kitchen?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, you know, everyone, most people only have one oven. If you have a double oven, that's a fantastic benefit when it comes to, you know, cooking Thanksgiving, because you can have a turkey in one and you can be doing a lot of other things in the other. But for most people, that's not realistic. So I really recommend, you know, working with what you have, but really trying to think of all the things at your disposal, all the tools at your disposal, and making sure that you're using them. Most people's toaster ovens are great, especially if they're convection toaster ovens, for, you know, making entire dishes. Of course, like you said, cranberry sauce, but a lot of things can be made in advance. Casseroles, anything that can be reheated. And I know that doesn't seem, for some people, they want it to be, you know, all fresh, all hot, all at the same time. But for most people, that's just not realistic.
So. What about things like vegetables? Because obviously you don't want things to be overdone. On the other hand, you know, you can at least maybe there's something you do with the, like after you reheat it to kind of finish it before you serve it. But, you know, can you do, to what extent can you do vegetables ahead of time? I would think something like squash or even maybe potatoes.
Yes. So yeah, squash and potatoes, definitely something that's a little harder to do in advance. I think mashed potatoes in general reheat okay, but that's something that you can do because it's stovetop. Something I would really recommend just doing when you're already done with the turkey, when things are sitting, when you're kind of just about to serve. At least that's how I've always done it in my family.
But you have to have the potatoes all boiled, right?
You have to have them boiled, right? Yeah. So it really is a matter of planning. I wish I could say it was just, oh, and then you could do this one thing. But vegetables in general, roasting, you can roast a ton of vegetables in advance and you can reheat those. And those are actually okay, especially if you reheat them in the toaster oven or any kind of thing like that. Just having a ton of cast iron on hand, things like that. And also if you have an air fryer, if you have an Instant Pot, if you have those gadgets that you really enjoy using day to day in your house, you don't have to just sideline them for the holidays. There's plenty of things, especially mashed potatoes. If you make mac and cheese, things like that, those can really be easily made in an Instant Pot or one of those multi-cookers. And just a matter of planning and having a lot of storage containers. And again, even if you're hosting, never be afraid to ask some people to bring some things, because I think that'll take some of the stress off, especially if it's a really big gathering. Just because also there's a lot of dietary restrictions people have. A lot of people are vegan or, you know, allergic to dairy. So that kind of takes some of that burden off and being like, people are going to bring things they want to eat.
How much guidance do you think you should give people, you know, to like,
what to bring?
Yeah. Like you, like you just say, bring a dessert or bring a pumpkin pie. You know, how specific?
My family always says bring a dessert and then there's, you know, 20 desserts. In general, I think bringing either a side dish, say maybe bring a green or bring a side dish that you really enjoy. And, you know, if there's one thing that's you have too many of, good chances everyone really likes it. And that's why they brought it. Or if, you know, if you have a specific restriction, feel free to bring something that you'd really like. Of course, you know, you want to serve a variety of things, but dessert, you know, appetizers, I think that's okay. Of course, if you don't want to say, oh, you know, bring your own version of this turkey, because that's going to be a little
But
I think there's no shame in, you know, just being honest with people.
And yeah.
Because I think a lot of the pressure and the kind of tension that you've discussed comes out of wanting to be, you know, the perfect host and not being honest and not being transparent.
You know, I think some people probably appreciate the direction, too, so that they bring something you want, actually.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's go to the phones. Again, the number is 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. If you want to share one of your epic fail or disaster moments from Thanksgiving, or, you know, maybe a particularly fond memory that you have, give us a call. 866-733-6786. And Scott in Walnut Creek, you're up first.
Hi, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, this is a double fail. About 1966, 67, my aunt and uncle and kids and stuff came over for Thanksgiving, and all of a sudden, my aunt and my dad, they had a rivalry, and it ended up in a food fight.
Oh, my God.
Before everything was served.
What were they throwing?
Well, my dad took mashed potatoes and gravy and the whole bowl and put it over the top of my aunt's head.
Get out of here.
Well, that's
I want pictures. I want to see documentation of that.
Okay. Well, both of them have passed.
Polaroids. There's got to be a Polaroid somewhere. Okay. So then what happened?
And then throughout the course of the day, my mom had baked 3 pumpkin pies. And what I would do, she thought she had hid them from me up on a top shelf. Unfortunately for everybody else, there was a drawer that I could pull out, stand up, take my hand, scoop out a handful, and then leave the room. Well, in the course of an hour, I cleaned out all 3 pies, and when it came time to serve it, all there was crust.
Okay, that is quite a story. So I don't know where to begin with that. Margie, talk about kids, and because, you know, this obviously Scott was a problem child who had a penchant for pie, but like, what are some of the issues that come up around kids?
That certainly is a hard example for kids to witness when the adults are out of control, you know, food fighting. So my philosophy, I always tell people, is to try really hard to think of the kids first, to put them first, because they're pretty, you know, powerless to control much except for Scott eating all the pie. But, you know, to set that as an example of getting out of control and having a food fight, you know, I think that if tensions are that raw between family members, maybe they should be separated and not get together for a big occasion like that, or make an agreement ahead of time that for the sake of the children, or sometimes for elderly parents, you know, we're going to restrain ourselves and call each other names later in private, or, you know, act out like that. So if people put kids first, if there are kids at the table or at the occasion, I think people can be much more compatible.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call, Scott. And Cassidy, you know, another kind of fail would be, you know, the turkey is underdone and you've already cut it, or it's overdone and there's nothing you can do about it, or you made pie and you forgot to put in a key ingredient. I mean, what can you do about those sorts of things besides sort of apologize?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's going to be hard. If you cut into your turkey and it's underdone, you can put it back in.
Yeah.
That's, you know, not unsalvageable. I always recommend using, you know, like a meat thermometer or a probe thermometer, something that you can actually really tell and in your heart know that it's done. And that will also prevent overcooking. So, you know, you're not going to get the driest turkey in the world, which is an issue that a lot of people have. But if you do pull it out and it's dry, unfortunately, there's not a lot you can do other than smother it in gravy.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That some people are nice enough not to say.
And in terms, go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, and yeah, just in general. And, you know, if you're forgetting ingredients, same thing with a dessert. You know, if it's not quite sweet enough, throw on some whipped cream, throw on some ice cream. You know, I don't think anyone's going to be complaining, but I understand it's never nice to serve something that isn't what you really want.
Do you have any sort of epic fails that, you know, that happened to you personally?
Yeah. So my mother is a good cook, so she doesn't let me do anything really, when it comes to Thanksgiving, or, you know, I help out, but I haven't properly hosted a family Thanksgiving because she's been hosting for, you know, as long as I've been alive. But last year I did host, a Friendsgiving of sorts.
Yeah. That's a new phenomenon.
Yeah. With a lot of people close to me here in Boston. And I was cooking actually with a meal kit. I have written extensively about different meal kits at Reviewed, and I've tested all of them. And I was testing the HelloFresh Thanksgiving box, which actually offers you an entire Thanksgiving dinner.
In a box?
In a box, which sounds like it would be bad, but actually it was good, except for the one thing that I messed up. So I was pretty sick at the time, and I had another friend who was also sick trying to help me. So we were rushing around, lot going on. You know, this also wasn't properly on Thanksgiving, so other people just had normal weeks going on. But I received the box. Things were great. Of course, my one big mistake that people make all the time is that I didn't defrost the turkey soon enough. And of course, you're not supposed to put it out on the countertop and leave it to defrost there because it could, you know, get bacteria. And we were defrosting at the fridge, took it out day of, realized that it was still frozen on the inside.
Wow. So what do you do?
In that situation, the only thing I knew to do, because technically you can bake it frozen, but that's an awful idea. The only thing I knew to do was to get it off with water. And I know my own mother, and I've heard of people's grandparents saying, oh, you know, just defrost the turkey under running water the way you would, you know, something else if you had forgotten to defrost it. But the reason, well, turkeys are, you know, kind of known for being dry, and a lot of the fat and oil on the skin of the turkey and on the inside will actually get removed if you are covering it in water. So the only thing I knew to do to defrost it was run it underwater. I did that. I made the turkey pretty dry.
Yeah.
And, you know, end of the day, I put a lot of gravy on it. I was also cooking for someone who had a severe dairy allergy, so I was very aware of that. Luckily, didn't mess up there because that would have been a much worse scenario. But, yeah, don't run your turkey underwater. I know lots of people who were probably going to try to do that. So that's my one big takeaway.
Yeah. And also, how far in advance do you need to thaw it? How long does it take?
Yeah, it depends on the weight of the turkey. I'm forgetting the exact ratio, but in general, your turkey should be in the fridge right now if you're cooking it on Thursday. I think we gave it about 2 days. You sometimes even give it three. And I always recommend, if you're going to be cooking turkeys, to do smaller birds because they are more moist and don't need as long in the oven, and to spatchcock your bird, which means to take out the spine so it's open and it'll cook faster. So those are my recommendations for turkey. But yeah, I will not be cooking a turkey this year. I'm leaving that to my mom.
Okay. Let's go back to the phones. And Susie in Los Gatos, welcome.
Hello. How are you?
We're doing well. What's up?
I am calling with a recommendation to anyone who is bringing something to someone's house for Thanksgiving. I had a guest one year who arrived 15 minutes before dinner was to be served with a bag of uncooked yams and wanted to cook them in my kitchen for dinner.
Great.
After I had food for 20 people ready to go, and she wants to peel yams. Mm. Please bring your food prepared before you get there.
That is a great point. And, I mean, Cassidy, I guess there are some things you can maybe finish, like make the whipped cream, I suppose, would be an okay thing to do. But, yeah, you don't assume that the cook and the host have room in their kitchen for you to be.
Yeah. I'm very controlling in a kitchen, and most people I know who are, you know, serious about cooking are really kind of controlling in the kitchen. So having someone walk in 15 minutes before I'm done and being like, can I cook this? I'd be furious.
Not helpful.
So I agree. Don't do that. Bring things finished. Feel free to ask if you could borrow, you know, an ingredient.
But Susie, how did you handle that?
I let her cook it, and we ate late, and everything else was a little bit cooler, but
yeah,
you know,
that's
it's family, and it's Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you got to be, got to go with the flow, I guess. All right, well, thanks so much for sharing that. Jake writes, one time I mixed my nerdery with cake baking, so I made an inedible peppermint cake that had electric wires, which lit a light in a house made of clear red sugar candy. I'm so glad today it was inedible because the wiring had lead solder, and who wants to poison their family? Definitely a holiday fail, but the lights were pretty. I was underage, just for the record, he writes. And then Winston tweets, our oven broke, but did so in such a way that it still got warm and lit up. 7 hours later, the outside of the turkey was brown, but the inside wasn't even room temperature. I believe we recovered by buying a few rotisserie chickens from Safeway. There are some stores that are open late on Thanksgiving, and I guess, Cassidy, that's a good thing to know about before the day you know, gets out of control.
Of course. Yeah, I give a lot of props to people who are actually working on Thanksgiving. But if it comes to it, I definitely, you know, would run out to the store. That was a pretty awful scenario.
Margie, what about, you know, alcohol? A lot of people, of course, serve wine with the Thanksgiving meal, or cocktails even before, champagne, whatever. You know, how do you moderate that? In a way that's not going to annoy the people that really want another glass of wine.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's really tough. I hear about that often because you want to provide people with what they'd like. You don't want to be monitoring and, you know, cutting people off. You hope that other family members will point that out, people close to them. But often, you know, sometimes it's the host. You know, it's a member, like a husband or a wife or an adult child, who's overdoing it. So there's no easy way if you're hosting to take care of that problem. I think that's what bothers so many people that I hear from, that somebody's out of control and then, you know, their inhibitions are kind of gone and ugly things come out or confrontational things. So it's a quandary. It's really a difficult situation. I mean, you can definitely not have hard liquor and maybe not even champagne, maybe just wine and beer.
Yeah. And don't have like four open bottles or something at the same time.
Oh, that's a good idea too. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay, let's go to Elizabeth in Woodland. Welcome.
Hi, I'm just calling. I have an October birthday, and I 1 year got a brand new kitchen for myself with brand new GE oven and gas stove. And we bought a very expensive turkey. We had a lot of guests coming. I think it was $200 for this organic free range. We stuffed it with wild rice and I put it in the oven and told my daughter, turn on the oven. She turned it to auto clean.
Oh, God.
Which would have incinerated the poor bird.
You caught it, I hope.
Well, there was no way to open the oven door once you've done that.
You can't turn. Well, you can turn it off, right? But it does. It seals for a while.
No, you couldn't turn it off.
Wow, because it was just on auto.
We looked through the guidebook, you know, the instruction book. We did everything. We couldn't find any way to turn the thing off so we could open the door.
Kind of a slow-moving disaster.
I will call GE. Lo and behold, GE was open on Thanksgiving.
Oh, great. Yeah.
They told me how to dismantle the whole thing to open the door.
Wow.
So we did have Thanksgiving, but, I mean, it was a complete panic.
That's a good one. So disaster averted.
Averted, yes. And the other one was when I had another party for a lot of friends, and we bought a very heavy turkey in an aluminum, put it in an aluminum pan, and I tried to lift it out with my friend, and it was too heavy for the pan. The whole thing just collapsed on the floor.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, there we are picking it up, scrubbing it off.
That's a greasy floor. All right, Elizabeth, are you hosting?
Steel pan.
Yeah. Are you hosting this year?
No, I'm not doing it. I'm going to a dinner.
All right. There you go. That's one way
to
avoid.
A lot of them, but that frying, incinerating the turkey was my wonderful story I will never forget.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's hope that none of that happens this year to the host, wherever you're going.
Oh, it should be good for everyone.
All
right. Thank you so much.
Well,
happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
Same to you, Elizabeth. Thanks very much. Talking about some of your memorable holiday mishaps, how did you recover from them? Give us a call if you want to join in, 866-733-6786. You can also get in touch on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum, or you can email us. We're forum@kqed.org. Let me also ask about, this is a question for Cassidy, but, you know, Margie, you might have some thoughts too. When to ask guests or even kids to help out, and what's an appropriate thing to have them help with?
Yeah, of course. I think in general, again, like I said, I tend to be kind of controlling, but that doesn't mean everyone has to be. And I think having a helping hand can really be, you know, can make the difference and also make it more like an activity that everyone is involved in, you know, cooking and making this thing together. At the end of the day, you get to celebrate it, and it's not, you know, mom or dad or ex shows up and everything's done. You haven't seen them all day. So I think ask for help where you need it and where, you know, it feels appropriate. Of course, I think one person should be in charge of, say, the stove, because a lot of, you know, there's dangers that arise when you start having multiple people, especially obviously not children, anywhere near the oven. If you're coming in and out of the oven, if you're using the stovetop. But I say, you know, have someone help peel potatoes, have someone help chop vegetables, have people, you know, sit on the opposite end of the kitchen if you have an island or, you know, a table, you know, there communicating. You can have hors d'oeuvres there, or you can have drinks there. I think that's always helpful. Children, especially, I have a young niece and nephew, and I think they, like, really enjoy cooking as well. But, you know, getting them involved in desserts and getting them involved in safe things that, you know, is within reason, especially if it's in advance. Something like I said, peeling potatoes, not for children, but just any kind of, you know, kind of fun activity that they can get involved in. But at the end of the day, if people also don't want to help or if children don't want to help, I think, you know, having them set the table or do something like that is also okay. And you're going to they're going to be able to do a chore, but it's not going to be, you know, affecting the food. So
exactly.
It's up to you.
Yeah. Margie, what would you add to that?
Well, I I look back at, you know, what I hear, and I think what annoys people the most is when someone doesn't help, you know, consistently year after year or meal after meal. So, you know, you have to be inventive to try to encourage that person to help if it's really bothering you.
Or be explicit.
Yeah, yeah, like...
Help clear the table, please.
Please, exactly. Not just seethe in silence and hold it against that person who may just be caught up in the conversation and, you know, just kind of oblivious to what you're going through. But I do think, you know, if people are offering to help, it makes them feel good, just like Cassidy said with her little niece and nephew. But, you know, adults, everybody who offers is offering because they want to participate and be part of it. So I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Passive aggression is definitely the worst aspect of any Thanksgiving.
Not a good side dish. All right, let's try to get one more call in. And Carol in Petaluma, you're next.
Hi. This was maybe 15 years ago. I'm a family doctor, and I had an older lady come in, and her foot really hurt, and her toe, her big toe looked awful. I said, what happened? She said, well, I was cooking Thanksgiving for the kids, and I thought they should be cooking Thanksgiving for you. And I went to get the turkey out of the freezer. It was the freezer on top, and it fell, and it hit my foot. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. She goes, I don't even like turkey. And when I had to send her for an X-ray, and the radiologist was laughing so hard when she called me back, she could hardly speak. The poor lady had shattered her big toe.
Oof, ouch.
And I just like, oh my goodness. And she doesn't even like turkey.
Yeah, those turkeys are heavy. Definitely.
They are. You got to be careful.
Yeah, yeah. Watch your feet. Carol, thanks so much for sharing that. Just about a minute left. Cassidy, any final thoughts about being in the kitchen this Thanksgiving?
Well, just in response to that turkey thing, that's why you have to get smaller turkeys.
Yeah. And help taking it out of the oven.
I don't think any bird has caused more grief in the history of mankind than turkeys.
Yeah.
I know it's challenging. Get smaller ones. You know, yeah, help out.
Yeah.
But no, final thoughts, you know, just in general, be honest with everyone, which I said before, and, you know, get as much done now so you can just relax
the day of
and,
yeah.
You know,
have a plan.
Enjoy time with your friends and family and have a plan.
Exactly. All right. Cassidy Olson, kitchen and cooking editor for Reviewed. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much.
And also to Margie Ryerson, family marriage therapist based in Walnut Creek. Thank you both and happy Thanksgiving. And to all of you as well, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for listening. We will be here tomorrow, by the way. I don't want you to think we're not going to be here, but join us. We'd love to have you tomorrow. I'm Scott Schaefer here today for Michael Krasny, who is a little bit under the weather. Hopefully he'll be feeling well soon. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.